everybody. I am Stephen Fontana. That is Andy Asimakis, and this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. Welcome back to the show. Andy, how are you?
I am not on camera this week.
This is true.
And you don't know why.
No.
And I'll tell you why.
You're a disembodied voice.
I'm a floating head today. So we came back from Nantucket, and it was great. Mm-hmm. Amazing trip. Mm-hmm. But my mom was like, okay, you guys took a plane ride and your brother lives with me and I'm older and I don't want him in the house. Mm-hmm. So just keep him for like 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, you know what? We spent 10 days together in Nantucket. What's 2 more weeks at my place? We'll just play more games and eat more junk food. And yeah. I will further drive a stake in my and Ken's relationship. Totally fine.
Right.
So that's one thing. So he's now in the spare bedroom, which is the office space. Now you would think, okay, that was my old recording space. Why are you not in the place you are normally in the dining room?
Indeed.
That's because Ken's sister is also sleeping here.
Oh.
Because he had to get her today from the dentist, having her wisdom teeth pulled.
Interesting.
Dude, when she came in the door, the sound she was making, the pain, it was like, I imagine what Wolverine sounded like when he had the, what you call it, rift of his bone, the adamantium rift of his bones through his pores.
No.
I was like, get her on the couch, lock all the doors, throw a blanket on her. I'll be in the bedroom for the next like 2 hours.
Oh boy.
So I am now in my bedroom. Hold up. It's a mess in here. I look like crap. So I'm floaty head this week. Fair. And my house is more packed now than it was before lockdown, which is, I find it hilarious.
This is good. This is good. Everybody, the whole, you got a full house. And we're recording 4 shows this week. 5 shows if you include
that. 5 shows, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, if this is your first time here, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring two people you've never heard of. Probably. The Dual Screens Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com. And of course, the video on demand goes up one day later on youtube.com/DualScreensTV. And you can watch us live, record it live every Sunday or Monday. It's Monday because Andy just got back. At twitch.tv/DualScreensStreams. Please remember, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. Let's just show, it brings the little eyeballs, you know, like the little algorithm goes, hey, people are listening to this thing. Let's move it up a little bit, and then move it up a little bit, and then move it up a little bit. And before you know it, we're better than Joe Rogan. You know what I mean? You know what
that's
I mean?
That's how it works. That's science.
That is.
Right there.
Before we get into this show, let me tell you about our other shows that we got. We just recorded and posted our very first episode of Casting Call. That is our seasonal content that is living solely on our YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/DualScreensTV. Check that out. We cast a Metal Gear Solid movie, our favorite actors, whatever that we thought would be great in those roles. So go check that out. Also, our flagship show, the Dual Screens Podcast. The Dual Screens Podcast is the internet's number one indie developer interview podcast on the internet, probably. And that posts every single Thursday. And God, we are just packed for October. We have horror games out the wazoo. Then we are also already booking most of November. We're going to be recording 2 or 3 shows every week in October until November. And then hopefully not record again until December, because it's insanity what we have going on right now. So please. By all means, and by the way, the Dual Screens Podcast and this Dual Screens Gamecast, it posts on the same channel. So if you're listening in audio form, you don't have to go anywhere. Just scroll down a little bit or scroll up and boom, there's the other shows. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And we had a publisher of hentai games on last week's show, and oh boy, that was a show, Andy.
Let me tell you, you should all, when this is done... or when Steven's done marbling for the evening, go and give that a listen, because
let me tell you,
you should all, in more ways than one. Oh God!
Hold on.
What is happening?
Something's going on. Oh no!
It's just repeating itself over and over again. Chat, are you hearing this right now? How is this possible? What is happening? I don't have the stream open. Oh wait, do I? I did. It opened up. Wait, no. What the fuck is going on? Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Okay, hold on. Okay, Twitch opened up and it was my Batchild channel or somebody's channel hosted this channel. And I don't know how that happened, but it switched to the channel and I was hearing the show twice. Anyway, back to the show.
Fascinating. Back to the show proper. That's yes. A stay in because that's how we do things around here.
What the fuck just happened?
That's,
anyway,
that's all in.
So yeah, hentai, that was a thing we did. That was a fun little show. And if you don't, if you're one of those people that thinks that like there's not a place in the world for those games, think again, because oh boy, is there an audience for those games, because those games sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, and you know, don't be a prude. Check it out.
And the last thing we want to say before we get into the show proper is if you like what you hear and you are watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. It doesn't cost you a cent. But if you do want to throw us a dollar, you can do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast. That's patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. Thank you so very much for your support. We can't continue to grow without it. All right, Andy, it's time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt. The Adventures in Gaming, 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 Gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
So I came home and I played a little bit of Genshin Impact, a little bit more, I should say. And man, that game is fun. And I had a moment earlier today with it.
All right.
So I was like walking around, doing some quests. And it was like, go to this castle over here. So I went to this castle. Mm-hmm. And there was a little boy by the bridge hanging out with a bunch of birds next to him. So I ran up and the birds flew away. And then the kid's like, oi, you scared my birds away. The fuck's your problem? So there's a dialogue tree. And it's like, one's like, they're just birds. Fuck you, kid. Who cares? And the next one's like, oh, they'll come back. It's fine. Don't worry about it. So I picked the, you know, the nicer option. And the kid was all like, yeah, they'll come back, but sometimes they don't come back, just like my dad.
Wow.
And I was just like, okay, jeez. Game.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Putting controller down for 1 minute just to digest.
What the fuck, dude?
I got to unpack all of that emotion.
Jesus.
So I played through that for a little bit. And then I was playing over the weekend in Nantucket all the Mega Man X games with my brother. Uh-huh. We got through Mega Man X7, and it took 6 games for a shark to be a boss in those games, Steven. There was a fucking penguin in the first game.
Sure, yeah.
There was a sponge.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the second game,
sponges?
There was an ostrich,
creatures.
There was roaches, there was fireflies, mm-hmm. but it took them 6 games
to get to shark.
Buffalo. They had a buffalo in the game.
Okay.
But it took them 6 games. So you know what? Let's put a shark in the game. That would have been my first pick.
I feel like Shark Man would have been like, would have been the first. If I was to make a Mega Man game, having very little knowledge of what Mega Man really is as far as like who's been a boss before, like I'd be like, okay, Fire Man, Ice Man, or like Tundra Man or Vortex Man and
right.
Tornado Man. Shark Man would definitely be one of those.
Right. But like the X Games were all, it's a word than the animal.
Right.
So it's like, you know, like a storm owl, chill penguin.
Sure.
It took 6 games for a shark.
Yeah.
That boggles my brain.
And it was Street Shark, right?
Well, it was a hammerhead.
He was one. The hammerhead was one of the Street
Sharks. That's true. You're right. Dude, I love Street Sharks. That shit was amazing.
I never watched a single minute of that show, but I had the toys and they were fucking awesome. They were so cool. They were like, they had like that rubber skin and they had like such cool little things that they did. Oh my God, those things are so cool.
I was like that, but with Bucky O'Hare.
I had all those toys. I had all those toys.
But I never saw a single episode of my entire life.
And then me either. Not a single episode. Also, never watched a single episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Sure, why would you?
Well, until much later in life, but I had all those toys too. I had like the little transporter that like you put the guy in, you hit the light and then it like flash on the mirror and then it looked like he disappears. I had that. Mm-hmm. Don't know why. Like I think my mom told me later that my dad like looked under the tree on Christmas Eve and didn't see enough for me compared to my brother. So he got in the car, went to Toys R Us at like 1 a.m. and just got whatever they had on the shelves. And that was the Star Trek Next Generation line of toys. And that's why I got like, Star Trek toys.
Is he like Star Wars or Star Trek? I don't remember.
Neither. I didn't watch any of those. But whatever, man. It was action figures, so I was happy. So I played a couple of new games. There's a demo out. It's called Party Animals.
Okay.
It's a 8-player 1v1v1v1 game where you are like you remember Gang Beasts?
Sure, yeah.
It's like totally. That, except animals, and you beat the shit out of each other with things like tasers, shovels, nunchucks, ice guns, and there's 3 levels right now in the demo, but it is hilarious. It is stupid fun. You're just ragdolling each other all over the place, doing drop kicks and like run punches and grabbing them and trying to fling them off the level. It's like it reminds me of how much fun Smash Brothers was when it came out on N64. That it was like novel to me. Like right. Gang Beasts is fun, but it's almost more fun because of how bad it is. This is like, but what if that was good? Like, what if Gang Beasts wasn't as janky and bullshit?
Because yeah, you're playing for the jank, primarily in Gang Beasts. That's the charm of Gang Beasts, the jankiness of it. But this sounds like a future guest, by the way.
I would absolutely love that. I would put that out there. But another future guest that I'm hoping for us to get. I played Phasmophobia, Andy.
You dipped your toe into Horror Lake, did you now?
I did. Now,
I mean, Horror Lake, it's there. It's horror adjacent.
Fucking scary, but here's the
for thing. You.
No,
I imagine
it's a scary game because of what you're trying to do. But what makes it not as scary is playing with your friends. Like if you're communicating with your friends and you're working as a team, like you could kind of feel each other out and like know what your roles and like
you feel safe,
but
safer.
But let me explain something to you.
Explain.
This game has probably some of the best mechanics of any game that I have played in a very long time.
See, that's a lot. It's only one person making this game, which we learned recently.
Right. It is
madness.
So cool what this guy or girl did.
His name is DK.
DK, that's right. What DK did to make this a video game, first of all. Like so for those of you who don't know, you're a team of paranormal investigators and you get a whiteboard and the whiteboard will say, here's the ghost's name. You got to figure out what type of haunt it is. So it could be a wraith or a ghost, a spirit. It could be a poltergeist. It could be all these different things. And you have to go around and basically look for clues. And you have like a ghost journal. And as you're going around figuring out different things, for example, if you have a thermometer, right? So you could go around with a thermometer and if you get any room that is below 10 degrees Celsius, there's a ghost in that room. That's where the ghost is. So now you know where to focus. But if it goes below 0, then you know you have to log that in the journal because only certain haunts will go below 0. So you're trying to process of elimination, figure out what kind of ghost it is. Now, some of them are hyper aggressive. I forget which one it was, but there was one, I think it was a Yuri that could travel through walls and could instantly teleport to whatever room it wants to as long as the generator is on. And some ghosts turn off the generator. Will like trip the generator, so you have to go back. You can't run in the game. You could basically briskly walk or walk.
You can, yeah, just do a nice little speed walk.
So you have to look for, you have an infrared, a UV light where you could shine and look for handprints. So if you see fingerprints or handprints, now you put that in the journal. Now it's the process of elimination. So now you have freezing temperatures and handprints. So you're going around, you have the ghost box, which is like the radio where you sit there in quiet and you ask it questions. And then every once in a while, the radio will go like, die. Or something like that. And you're like, fuck, it's a die. Like, it's ghost box. And then you put that
it's
in.
It's like if those ghost hunting shows were actually good. And real.
Exactly. if you checked out my social media lately, specifically my Instagram, I put up a video of what happened to me while I was playing this game. But I'm just going to explain it to everybody. I was playing with three friends. We're all four of us are there. The ghost we know is at the foot of the steps. We know that she is, she throws objects. Like when you're not looking, you'll see like a plate fly out of nowhere. And you're like, oh shit. Or like a candle. She kept turning on this lamp over and over again. And I'm standing in the doorway of the house, staring at the stairs. There was a buddy standing directly kind of in front of me, maybe like 4 or 5 feet. And then to the left of me was one other buddy. And I forget I think the other one might've been in the truck. Telling us like if there's activity in the house, like because we have like there's like a meter. Say, oh, she's at a 5, she's at a 2, she's at a, but and if they're on a 10, that means they're on the prowl. That means they start locking doors and they start trying to kill you, right? So I'm standing there, we're looking around, we're trying to get her to come out. If you say their name, they get pissed off, especially if you say their full name. So all four of us are just saying this woman's name over and over again, and all of a sudden, she snaps in front of me and turns her head like a fucking, like the Exorcist, like right in my camera. Like the whole face just filled my camera. I jumped like 32 feet in the air. I was on the ceiling. We had a friend playing with us, but he wasn't really playing. He was just watching. He was in our Discord chat, and watching me stream it in Discord. So he was like being our guy in the chair kind of thing. He jumped because he was watching my stream. Both of us got the shit scared out of us. And when they're on the prowl, they can lock doors. They can lock you right there. And I wound up getting killed by this at a later time. Got killed by the ghost because she locked the door. I tried to open it, but when she locks it, you can't open it for a little while. You have to just find a hiding spot. The first thing I did was go in the basement like a fucking moron. So I went in the basement and I was like, I stayed at the steps. I was like, okay, maybe she didn't see me going here. And
the basement, dude, that's such a rookie mistake.
The hands, I panicked so bad. The hands go across the screen and it goes like that. And then you go into the afterlife. They're trying to figure out, DK is trying to figure out what to do with the ghosts when you die, because you become a ghost, but you can only like just watch what's going on. But yeah, if you like spoopy games and you like paranormal stuff, and it's such a good game. Great. Like it's yes, it has jank, it has issues, it has slight
repetitiveness. It's one guy making it.
But we did a level that was in a school that had like 3 dozen classrooms, a giant gymnasium. There's an asylum level. Like it's pretty fucking cool.
I love it.
So yeah, those are the two games I was playing.
Fantastic.
A minute of Apex Legends. Is going to be just about some leaks that happened. There are some Season 7 leaks for some skins. It looks like there is a new Wraith skin, a new Hemlock skin, and I believe it was a new Volt skin or something like that was leaked, which usually when it's a character's skin that leaks first or like is able to be found through data mining, it's probably going to be a season about that person. So it looks like Wraith might be the subject of Season 7, which would be pretty cool. Maybe the new character will be tied to her in some way. I've been playing at least once a day, for maybe an hour or so. Been playing with our boy Mikey Kirsch. Just trying to grind out some battle pass stuff. I played like Duty yesterday, but it's been going well overall. And that
Duty
is a minute of Apex. All right, Andy, it's time to get
Duty, surprisingly.
No, it was some news. There was some news there. Andy, it's time to get into the dual screens report. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is where Andy and I cherry pick. We hand pick out of the ether some news stories we feel like talking about and arguing about, and we throw them in your face. If we don't cover something and you're watching live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, you can use some of your channel points and you can suggest news stories. But wait till the end because you don't know what we're going to cover. Andy, hit us up with the first story.
Steven, we got an in-depth look at a full nude stripped down PS5.
Yes, we did.
And Hornelli.
It's a lot of stuff in there.
That is a brilliant piece of design and architecture for a system. Now, my initial thoughts on this thing was, you know, like everyone else is, oh my God, liquid metal, Judgment Day is happening.
Yes, of course.
Like everyone else said. But that aside, can we just say that this thing looks sexy, all torn down?
Sure. I didn't get as much of a hard on for it as you did. but there are certain things that did get me very excited. I know that the liquid metal part of it, after doing some research and looking into like what that actually does, it has a 30% or better rate of dissipating heat than thermal paste, but it is essentially the same thing as thermal paste, which I wouldn't even know like how that works, but there's that. But that also makes me nervous because it's also highly, highly, highly susceptible to destroying motherboards if it gets knocked loose.
Right. Well, you saw that little foam little case it was in.
Oh, no. Like look, I have no doubt that I am going to be fine, but there are morons that almost, try to I get shit it. Themselves. Like I have I a feeling it. Like some people might have issues. I mean, that was fine.
Now listen, I don't claim to be a specialist or an expert on technical doohickeys,
right?
Doodads, as it were. But I was loving the reaction and the takes of people saying, "But if it's vertical, won't the liquid metal just spill down and go in the system? What's keeping it up?" And I was like, "Okay, that's just
oh,
dumb.
You figured it out. Sony didn't.
No one thought of that until you just said it.
Oh man, dang."
So my first observation here is after watching the whole, like, I think it was a 7-minute video, was this is not a gaming console per se. This is a heatsink that they built a console around, correct?
Yeah, yeah, right. So yeah, they definitely took their heat dissipation very seriously.
Dude, the heatsink was about 9 inches of long. Them going the extra mile, like patents for the liquid metal and doing a quote unquote expensive cooling solution going into this system was talked about for months before it was even revealed the look to the world. And now we see it with this big ass fan, the liquid metal, and this heatsink, which is a beast of a thing.
Sure. Again, don't give a shit. Just make sure the thing doesn't overheat and I'm fine.
Listen,
there were two things that excited me.
Go ahead.
There were two things that excited me. One, how easily removable the fins are.
Dude, of course.
Because customizable fins is going to be a huge thing. Huge thing.
People are going to 3D print those shits like no one's business.
Exactly.
Alone the ones that come with the official end from Sony.
Right. I think that's going to be really dope. I think that's such a cool little feature because taking the PS4 one off is not hard. But it's scary because like you have to really bend it back and you feel like you're going to snap it and then it like pops right off. But even that is like terrifying. But the PS5, like the brunt of the design are those fins. Like that's what you really see. So that's going to be easily customizable, which is cool. Very excited. I'm excited to just pop them off and paint them black, to be honest, because I like the black systems rather than the all white. But
I'm with you on that. But I'm sure there's going to be some black covers at some point.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm going to hold off. Yeah. I'm not going to do any modding yet.
On that note of the fins come out easily, it was the expansion port access for extra memory.
Well, that was going to be the second thing.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
The second thing that I'm excited for is the fact that it is going to be easily upgraded when it comes to expanded storage. There was a lot of talk within the last week about how it, quote, might only have 680 whatever gigs of available memory, which, again, really isn't so much an issue if you listen to what they said about the compression and like all that stuff that they're the Kraken compression software that's proprietary to PS5. It like basically cuts game sizes in half to what they were on PS4, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I mean, I wasn't too worried about it anyway, because it will always have USB storage compatibility. Mm-hmm. You just might not get like that super fast SSD, but it has a PCIe. I think it's 4. I don't know. Again, I'm not a tech nerd, but it has whatever, or the NVI. I don't know, whatever it is, but it has what essentially the PlayStation is using. So it has the capability of you putting expanded storage, and it's still taking advantage of the boosts that the PS5 is giving to solid state drives, which is cool. The official there have been revealed official stamp of approval PlayStation 5 solid state drives that have leaked. You can get a 1 terabyte for like $220, I think, or something like that, which is about on par with what Xbox's proprietary expansion cards are like. But I expect older models to still be able to be used. They just have to be certified that they can be. But I think in the long run, obviously not being proprietary to the system is going to make these things cheaper in the long run. So
right. That's,
I would count that as a win for anybody who is worried about storage capacity, that you can maybe a year from now, probably find a terabyte for less than $100. We'll see. But that those are the two main things about, and it was right there. Like they popped the fin off and boom, it was right there. Like the expansion is literally right in front of your face.
Which that was my main thing.
NVMe. Thank you, Perger. Perger in the chat says NVMe is the name of the slot. Thank you. I'm an idiot. Thank you very much.
My main thing with the PS4 was upgrading the capacity. Was just the whole opening of it and getting to the point.
Right.
To expand memory. There's warranty voiding may be a thing. What if I destroy it? I'm not that good at these things. But, you know, I could watch a video and walk myself through. But in this case, if you can operate a screwdriver, you can expand your memory on your PS5.
Right. And the best, the coolest thing is that you're not removing the hard drive that's there. Like on PS4 and or PS3, maybe PS4 too. I don't remember.
Well, I think that's another big takeaway. It's actually, it's on the motherboard, the solid state drive.
Right.
Which is nuts with that custom controller on it too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Everything's soldered right on, right there on the motherboard. It's pretty cool. Like when I used to build computers, like, and this was like 2005 and 2006, when I used to do that, or maybe I was even in high school, it might've been like 2003, 2004, like around there. Like that's the knowledge I have. The hard drives being these big fucking things, 20 gigs, 40 gigs, setting one to be a slave drive, like all that fun stuff. I didn't realize that pretty much all of the RAM is soldered onto the motherboard. Like they're just little black little squares. Like I had no idea that was a thing. I thought it would be like little slots of like I have in my I have in my pocket.
It's like a little prayer circle of memory.
Here it is. Like this is what I think RAM is still. Like these little cards.
Yeah.
These are DDR3, I believe. DDR4? DDR3? DDR3. Sure. But that's what I remember as like building a computer or whatever. But it's just pretty cool. Like seeing it under there is pretty cool. Even watching the Xbox One, how everything fits like a hamburger.
Right.
You know, just kind of like smashed together in, like this little
mixed them together, yeah.
But that's pretty cool. Speaking of PS5, we have more PS5 news that I wanted to go over here.
Yes.
Take all of this with a grain of salt, because whatever, I'm just going to get right into it. Games Radar and a lot of other, outlets picked this up, but Games Radar was the first one that I had an actual write up of it when I Googled, the story, but, PS5 is commanding more than 80% of next gen pre-orders, according to a survey. This was about 4 days ago. PS5 is looking a lot more popular when it comes to pre-orders than the Xbox Series X, according to a new survey. Data collected from US-based respondents by market research company VGM via gamesindustry.biz says that more than 80% of those who had managed to pre-order the new console had opted for Sony's hardware. Of those surveyed, only 15% had locked in a successful pre-order. Wow. An indication of the difficulty many face when early purchases became available last month. Of those, 72% chose the disc version of PS5 and another 10% opting for the all-digital version. Some people bought the hardware for both console families, but the next generation of Xbox has proved far less popular, with 30% buying a Series X and only 8% getting a Series S. Again, I don't know how many people were surveyed. I don't know much about the survey. I'm actually going to click
into the global survey, or did it was a territory US. That we're locked
I think
into.
It was US.
Okay.
It started from it can okay. Is, it was from September 23rd to the 25th of 2020, using a sample of 511 US-based respondents, representatives of the US general gaming population. So, I mean, it's a small sample size.
That's a tiny sample.
But if it's random enough, you can get statistics from stuff like that.
I'm just surprised by the that large margin in the PS5, because either we're thinking less folks who wanted an Xbox couldn't get it for pre-order. Like, how little were those numbers?
It might actually go into that
for pre-order, because you know, here historically, Xbox and PlayStation are really close in terms of sales numbers.
It actually says it right here. So 29% of the respondents said they attempted to pre-order a next-gen console but were not able to do so. Among them, 58% were trying to pre-purchase a PS5 disc edition. 40% of those people were trying to get a Series X. 21% of those were trying to get a digital PS5. And 11% of those were trying to get a Series S. So 51... So what is that? 50? That doesn't make sense. 11... Oh, I guess 40... Wait, that doesn't add up. Right? Does it? No. Oh, I guess it does, because some people could have been trying to buy both. So that,
right.
That's
right. I'm sure when you make it that, it all makes sense in someone's head.
Yeah.
In some math nerd's head.
This is a cool little title here. It's a little way they wrap it up here. Actually, two things. The overall reasons for choosing a system over the other were not surprising. 45% of the interviewees who were leaning towards the PS5 said it was able to play exclusive titles, that being the reason. And 42% of those interested in the Xbox Series said they wanted to be able to sign up for its subscription program, such as Game Pass. On a separate note, 63% of the respondents said they were unaware of the recent purchase of ZeniMax by Microsoft.
Think that would change things in
Probably.
People's heads?
I don't think people... If you told random Joe Schmo, hey, Microsoft bought ZeniMax, I don't think they'd be like, oh shit, the guys who published Skyrim? No.
Yeah, they would say, what the fuck is ZeniMax?
Like, what's a ZeniMax? Is that a new VHS tape I have to buy?
Right.
Just to break that down, I think obviously more data has to be known, but based on everything leading up, like for the past year leading up to this, every YouTube video that PlayStation put out, every single thing that they ever done has had 5, 10, 15 times the views of Xbox. So this doesn't necessarily surprise me.
Even the PS5 teardown compared to the PS4 teardown, it was a pro teardown, but still, the numbers were doubled.
The numbers.
Like, numbers were doubled what it was over the PS4 Pro.
Yeah, it's going to be
brand loyalty is so strong with Sony's hardware, and it's a global thing. Now, again, I'm a little shocked that it's a U.S. based survey, because those numbers tend to run close with each other. Xbox One and the PS4 were close in sales. I think maybe a 5 to 6 million unit lead on PS4's direction.
Why don't we keep it in the PS5 talk? Because we have one more PS5 article. We have two Xbox articles.
You are a smart man.
So why don't you take us into the next PS5?
So I think if this was in the survey, if folks were told this news, we would have seen a flipped survey, in my opinion.
Mm.
So Sony has released a list of PS4 games that will not work on the PS5.
That will not work.
And it's I don't want to get nuts, but it's catastrophic. This is the death nail.
This is it.
In the coffin for the PS5. Steven, if you played DWVR, Afro Samurai 2, TT, Isle of Man, Just Deal With It, Shadow Complex Remastered, Robinson the Journey, We Sing, Hitman Go, Shadwin, and last but not least, Joe's Diner. If you enjoy these on the PS4, you cannot play that on the PS5.
Yeah.
How fucking heartbreaking.
Very upsetting. It's very upsetting. Let's just be real.
10 games. But on the bright side, these games have never gotten more publicity or free PR than they were a thing. And in actuality, there is a developer from this list who is going to try to amend that and make their game work.
Nice.
On the PS5. And that was with which game was it again?
Can I guess? Robinson the Journey. That's just a guess. I have no idea.
I know it's not. It's definitely not Joe's Diner.
That's upsetting.
Because they were asked on Reddit, what game is it? Come on. Oh, it's DWVR.
Okay.
He's working on the patch.
Well, there you go.
So this might be a down to 9 games. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if they were called out because it was like, hey, devs with these games, can you just like look at this and maybe make it work? But again, after months of only 100 games work on PS5, oh no.
Right.
It's now confirmed. It's the 4,000 plus working on PS5. It's just these 10 games. Plus, we got updates this week from Santa Monica, from Sucker Punch, about boosted games on PS5. All the God of War games. We got Ghost and 60 FPS coming on PS5.
Right.
All's good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So now, all the pearl clutching can go away. Go far, far away.
This story, I thought this was included in the story. So this is kind of a bonus, like a 3.5. But
okay. Go for it.
They also clarified the save game shit.
Yeah.
So a couple of days ago, they clarified what exactly how the cross save stuff is going to work.
Yes.
And to boil it down, I mean, I guess I could read their quote, but any PS4 game that you are playing now on your PS5 via backwards compatibility, not via a free upgrade to the PS5 version.
Mm-hmm.
But any of those games, those PS4 games that you either put the disc in your system or you download from your library, whether or not they are boosted a little bit or not, does not matter. All of those game saves will transfer with you. It is just like playing a PlayStation 4 game on a PS4 Pro, essentially. Just Correct. Like when you're playing your PS4 Pro games and they boosted the frequency a little bit, yada, yada. The PS5 versions of PS4 games like Avengers, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed, Cyberpunk, all of those games that have a PlayStation 5 version being sold on shelves along with the PS4 version, whether or not they give you a free upgrade or anything like that, they are leaving the save data transfer up to the developers to implement. If the developers do not want to implement those save cross saves, they will not do so. Right now, most of the big heavy hitters will do it. The only confusing one for me and for you has been Marvel's Spider-Man, the last one. And it's only and it's the remastered version. If you want to play your PS4 version, the save transfer will go no problem.
Right.
Again, we've speculated why that might be. That's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks either way you look at it. But most of the games that you and I give a shit about, like Cyberpunk, it's going to transfer. It's going to be no problem. They already said that it's going to be no problem. And you get the free upgrade. Avengers is going to transfer no problem. You don't have to worry about it. Again, that's a games of service. It's up in the cloud anyway. It doesn't matter. They also confirmed that you can transfer your saves via PS Plus in the cloud. You could transfer them via USB drive if you feel like it, or you could do it over Wi-Fi. You could just send it from your PS4 to your PS5, all of your digital data. So, cool. You have options.
Yeah, a lot of worries dispelled this past week, I feel, from Sony's camp.
Yeah,
with regards to the BC and now with the save files as well.
I wish they would just come out and say, you know, we're working with developers to ensure that all saves will be cross-compatible. It's still a case-by-case basis, but we're working with devs to make sure that they can do it.
Just that little reassurance, because seeing it, because it kind of sounds like, Well, it's on them. So if you want to get mad at someone, get mad at them, not us, because it was all on them to do it or not. So you can't get pissy at us. But having that extra, like, we understand you want your save games to work on your upgraded games. So we'll work with them to make sure that that's smooth and easy for them to handle on the PS5.
All right. So take us into our Mortal Kombat news before we get into Xbox.
Oh, my God. So speaking of updates.
Oh!
So many updates. So aside from we got confirmation of yet another free Dekshin upgrade in MK11 for PS5 and Series X, offering 4K resolution dynamic, enhanced visuals, significantly improved loading times, cross-platform and cross-gen compatibility.
Hell yeah.
Nice, nice, nice.
Let's go.
We got confirmed the Combat Pack 2 with the K, Combat. And Steven, did I not call this shit in the Discord fucking Rambo?
Yep, it's Rambo.
So before we get into Rambo.
What is their love affair with 80s, like,
we'll get to that in a second.
Stars.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. So first we got my boy, my Rain, my purple ninja,
right,
is back in effect, who is now DLC twice in MK games. First in MK9 and now MK11. He's like the premium ninja. Think about it. He's like, you got to pay if you want to play.
What is that? That's like Sub-Zero's nephew or some shit or something.
No, no, no. You don't know MK lore. Listeners, go back.
Rain?
Way, way back Rain, to when I explained Mortal Kombat to Steve.
I hope you've never explained Rain.
Rain is like a bastard son of a god in his planet, realm.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
He's like, I'm a fucking god. I'm a half god. Whatever the hell.
Whatever.
So Rain's back. He looks ultra cool, ultra sexy.
Sure.
He has like a combination of his like MK9 and 10 looks rolled into one.
Sure.
So it's cool. But we got Melina. Melina's back. And I feel a little torn about her appearance. Just as a DLC. She looks great. She has her old kind of teeth format.
Because
if you recall, she had like in the last game, like actual teeth and some side shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was like human teeth and then like the Baraka teeth on the sides.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
But now she's like all Baraka teeth.
She got Baraka teeth.
How she should be.
Right.
So I'm happy about that. But she really feels like a launch roster character, and I'm paying for her, and I feel weird about that.
Fair.
Now, people over at NetherRealm know that they fucking love Melina. There was a girl, her name is Losty something, Losty Girl, is a streamer. She was in tears when she saw Melina being revealed in this trailer. She means that much to players in the MK community.
Fucking nerd.
And I think I was like, why are you crying over Melina?
Nerd.
I mean, she's okay, but fucking get a grip, people. So, like, I get it. And I think they knew that. And it was the biggest troll. These are the two most requested characters from fans of Ed Boon, is Rain and Melina. And now they're here. And like it or not, you got to pay for them. And I feel a little split. Because, yes, I love them. Like, she was my main in MK2, Melina, and always going forward. But it's like, she should have been there, like, day one, dude. Day fucking one.
You can't have your cake and eat it, too. You got a great game. Get over it.
In any case, who cares? Because fucking Rambo.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening. MK10, right? MKX. We got fucking Leatherface.
Yeah.
Predator.
Yeah.
Alien.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah.
Amazing. Iconic horror figures.
Still 80s.
Like, yeah, it's
but can it, we get somebody born in like, or somebody that was relevant in the 2010s, maybe, you
right.
think?
But if I was explaining to you, it's Mortal Kombat, gonna do some guest shit.
Yeah.
And it's Jason Voorhees. Makes sense. He's violent, he kills, it fits.
Yeah, but he's not Predator. A fighter. Like
Leatherface.
Like yeah, I would say Predator. Yes, 100% fits in there because that's his job is to hunt and murder. Like if he comes from a planet that would take pride in entering the Mortal Kombat tournament, right? Like right. if they showed up and like, well, we're taking your planet, he'd be like, well, fuck no, you're not. Like you got to fight this dude, and he'd be like, click 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 click. You know how he does.
Predator sounds.
And then he would fuck shit up. Like yeah, that makes sense. You know who doesn't make sense? RoboCop.
We'll get to that in a second. So, like I said, at the very least, like, I get the horror element. It's like, it's violent, it's gory. It's, if you're going to do fatalities, like, having horror icons in there, sure. you can make that leap, yeah, in a sense. But then we'll go over to fucking this game, which, okay, you have Spawn. Fine. Okay. Spawn makes sense-ish. A Terminator, a Joker, RoboCop.
The Joker. I don't get the Joker.
Rambo. I don't get Rambo. Do we need more guys with guns in these games?
Okay. Here's what I do get. If we're assuming now, sure, at this point that Terminator is a reality in the Mortal Kombat universe, Rambo is a reality in the Mortal Kombat universe, RoboCop is a reality in the Mortal Kombat universe, I could see Protectors of Earth saying, John Rambo, the guy that murdered thousands of people and can't be killed by any sort of terrorist, let's see if we could get him on our side, especially when a lot of the story mode are more like wars that are going on and less tournaments lately.
Outworld drew for his blood.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I would get Rambo and be like, okay, Rambo. But again, are you going back in time and finding 1986 Rambo? Like, 88 Rambo? Like, or are you getting the Rambo that just made a movie 3 years ago that was absolutely trash?
Like, no, I think Rambo, it's an OG Rambo based on that look.
Who is confirmed,
voiced by Stallone, and face is Stallone's face, which is nice.
I am the law. They should have went with Judge Dredd.
Listen, that's my next point. This screams of skins. I want Demolition Man. I want fucking Rocky. I want Judge Dredd.
Rocky would be dope. Rocky makes sense. Rocky, okay, if Rocky is in this universe, if Rocky is on Earth when Mortal Kombat is happening, Rocky makes more sense than Johnny Cage.
Do you know what's even funnier, Steven?
What's that?
Mortal Kombat X had fucking Apollo Creed. What's his name? Carl Weathers?
Carl Weathers, yeah.
That was a skin for Jax for the Predator when Predator came out. They did a Carl Weathers fucking skin. They got to bring that back for Jax in this game, and they get the Rocky skin for fucking Rambo, and they have fucking Creed and Rocky in Mortal Kombat.
Boy, this got off the rails. Okay. All right. Here's a couple of Xbox stories for you Xbox out there. We love you.
Xbox.
I'm not whitelisting this website, so stop asking me. Xbox. Microsoft is reportedly bringing xCloud to iOS in 2021 via a, quote, direct browser-based solution.
Will Apple allow it?
I don't think they have a choice. Microsoft is reportedly working on a this is coming from IGN.com, by the way. Microsoft is reportedly working on a direct browser-based solution that will allow it to bring its cloud gaming service, previously known as Project xCloud, to iOS and iPad OS devices in 2021. As reported by Business Insider and The Verge, Xbox head Phil Spencer revealed the news during a recent internal all-hands meeting. He stated, we will absolutely end up on iOS. We'll end up on iPhones and iPads with Game Pass. Interesting stuff. I mean, if they're going with a browser-based solution, man, I really don't like any of the browsers that you could get for iOS. Like, I've never been like comfortable. That. Safari sucks. All of them suck. Like, I don't know how I feel about that. But if any company can make it work, especially with Game Pass, because they essentially have Game Pass working on potatoes right now, if they can get it working,
this is true,
I trust them. Like, go ahead, do what you got to do. Even if you sell Game Pass USB sticks or whatever that you stick in the charging port of your iPhone, and it just finds the shit in the Wi-Fi or whatever, like, you'll figure it out. I'm not worried. Like, totally not worried. Xbox, Microsoft is going to figure this out. They have the big donkey cock that they could drop on the table at any moment and just be like, really, Apple? Really? You want to play this game?
Indeed.
You want to play this game? We'll see. We'll see. Okay. That is And I don't think anybody is really worried. I don't think anybody's saying, oh man, they'll never get on iOS. No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, it's a like it or not. Like you said before, it's inevitability.
Yeah.
At this point, and it'll be nice to get that on there. I mean, I'm loving it on my Android. It's like a dream playing shit on the xCloud.
Indeed.
It's a revelation.
Now, this is a very interesting story, and this is the last story of the dual screens report. Microsoft and GameStop have entered an agreement. Which is bizarre in its own way, but a lot of speculation was, oh, Microsoft bought GameStop. Microsoft is going to turn GameStop into Microsoft store, Xbox stores or whatever. That's not the case here. They bought a massive chunk of stock in GameStop and are partnering. But let's get into what that means here. This is, again, from IGN. GameStop and Microsoft have entered into a new multi-year partnership. What does this mean for customers? Not a whole lot, actually, as the partnership appears to primarily impact GameStop's back end, transferring over GameStop's systems over to Microsoft 365 cloud solutions. In a joint statement, GameStop and Microsoft announced a new multi-year partnership that will mostly see GameStop's back-end solutions move over to Microsoft's programs like Microsoft 365. This basically means GameStop stores will adopt Microsoft programs to help run business operations like sales and inventory, and store employees will use Microsoft 365 and Teams to communicate. Stores will also get Microsoft Surface devices for store managers to use. Having worked retail, I'm sure the Surface devices will be an improvement over the standard retail computer systems. Retail computer systems are donkey balls. GameStop also confirmed that it will carry the Xbox All Access payment plan that lets customers purchase an Xbox Series X for $34.99 a month for 24 months. This isn't particularly news, as Microsoft announced GameStop would be an all-access retail partner back in September, along with Best Buy, Target, and Walmart. So no, GameStop's 5,000 retail locations are not being converted to Microsoft stores. In fact, most customers would likely not find any immediate impact from the news other than perhaps seeing more Microsoft Surface devices at store locations.
Yeah, this is a big old nothing burger at the end of the day,
well,
it sounds like.
It is and it isn't, Andy, and I'm glad you said that, because in the beginning, when this story broke, people thought Microsoft saved GameStop and is now going to use GameStop as their
cudgel with which to beat Xbox Series X onto customers' heads.
Right. What I do think this is I think this gives Microsoft, if you're looking at it from the Microsoft point, aside from getting the – essentially Microsoft landed the GameStop account, but also – purchased some stake in the company, like obviously helping them get out of
which
hot water.
I'm sure it was dirt cheap. They wanted to buy
games. Of course.
The stock price plummeted.
Yeah. Of course.
You always buy when it's cheap. That's how it goes.
But what I think this will actually do for Microsoft is it gives them points of contact for things that they want to do physically. Like, instead of having everything be online, now you know Game Pass, you can download games, right? You could download games directly to your computer, you could download games to your Xbox, whatever you want. But what if you are internet capped? What if you're one of those places that can only download certain stuff? Maybe Microsoft can leverage GameStop locations into being download hubs where you can reserve a spot at the store using their Microsoft whatever fucking program. You could say, hey, at 2 your pickup for your digital order of blah 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 is ready at 2 o'clock. And again, this is for people who don't have super high speed internet and for people who have caps. I know people that have data caps. I know people who have data caps that are like, I can't buy this game this month because there's no store that's open around me, especially since COVID, and I can't download because if I download it, I can't play online. Like, there are people I know personally that have that issue right now. So maybe that is also a way that they can leverage this, is say, hey, 2 o'clock, come in and download your game, or we'll have it downloaded for you on a thumbstick and you can just plug it in.
I was just going to say that's a great leverage for, hey, you can pick up your new Xbox Series X expansion memory card for $200 with your new game. It's preloaded already on it, which you'll pay for on the side. It's a win-win. You can sell the memory expansion with someone's games on it. Why not?
Yeah.
But most of your point, I feel like I've worked in an office space that had the same exact transition here. It's like, oh, we're going from a Google-based system to like an Outlook-based email. It's like, okay, we just changed accounts for all the back-end shit.
Right.
That's the main bulk of this. Mm-hmm. But I like what you're thinking of this. I feel like that's where they can leverage this deal the most. Mm-hmm. And finding ways that aren't obviously biased towards pushing Microsoft systems and games to their clients. Because that would be weird. All right, get these PS5 posters down. We don't want those here. Get the Master Chief there for Nintendo. Fuck Kratos.
You know, I've noticed, at least in the 360 era, that GameStops were very heavy on Xbox. Like they would have Xbox towards the front of the store, like all those displays. Mm-hmm. Nintendo was always bastardized in like the back of the store.
With the 3DS games.
And the Vita game, or the PSP games and Vita games.
Oh, God, the Vita game. Poor little Vita.
Yeah. They would be shooting themselves in the foot if they prioritize one brand over the other anyway.
Especially when you have a dying industry. Like your way of thinking, like that model is failing GameStop for a reason. And to sort of hide one of the more successful gaming brands over the other seems like a fool's errand to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting that this bit of news. It's unexpected, like a lot of things that they're doing in the Microsoft camp.
Man, there are two things, only two things that GameStop needs to do to not be shitty. And it's just stop shoving pre-orders down our throat. Stop trying to, you know, be sneaky about shit and hide things on, like hide warranties and shit on people's receipts. And the second thing is just give a little bit more money for used games.
Yeah.
Just don't insult me by giving me $30 for a brand new game that you're going to sell for 55.
Fucking 30 cents even. Like, I think that was the last straw for me. Like, taking in some games that weren't even that old. Like, in the same generation of gaming. And I was like, oh, those are sealed? You have to unwrap those outside so you decrease the value. It's like driving a car off a lot. Take it out of here, unwrap it, so it's now cheaper in our eyes, and we'll sell it for a higher price. But we'll give you 10 cents for it. Used. That is now a used game. Because you've opened it. That's kind of scummy.
Yeah,
as well. And it's a huge turnoff. And, you know, I think none of us shed a tear when we saw, like, the GameStop stock price dropping, or, like, no one wants to buy GameStop because what the fuck? Who wants to? Right. And then even when Reggie joined their board, like, why would you join that sinking shit, Reggie? It's weird. Like, I would love to see a competent game store I can go to, because now it's all Best Buy, extension Target or Walmart. Mm-hmm. Or I buy on the digital storefront on the Xbox or the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, and the days of like that midnight launch line at a GameStop, those are kind of gone now in this world we're living in as well.
I love going into a GameStop and just browsing stuff, picking up cheap used games.
Yeah, like it's like a gamer's Blockbuster. It's like, okay, what's new? What's out there?
Yeah, exactly. Cool. You know, I'm also an informed consumer enough where I could shut down their bullshit almost instantly.
Right.
So like I'm not the person they take advantage of. So I don't have particularly negative experiences there anymore. I also know the value of my used games. Like for me, I would rather sell a new game that I beat that's a month old to a friend for $40 than him go to GameStop and give them $55. Dude,
I would rather let them keep it. Here, keep this game. I don't want it no more.
Right.
I would get much more joy of you having a game. Like, let's see, you never bought Ghosts. Here's a copy of Ghost, Steve. It's yours now. Take it. I paid full price for it. I don't want it no more. I beat it. I don't want it. Well, even though it has the multiplayer command, so who cares? Here, take it. It's yours now. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you have it than getting less than half the sale price from GameStop.
Sure. All right, so our boy Buzz Killington put in a little news story. I did know about this, but this is really no surprise to me. Microsoft has confirmed that the storage expansion cards will also be made by third parties in various sizes and designs.
Storage?
Exactly. I was not – the way that they look, they just look like memory cards like from back in the day. So like I knew that at least some third parties were going to be making those. Maybe not a ton of them, but
– that's – see, now when you say they're memory cards, like what's old is new again.
Yeah.
Like I haven't had a memory card like fucking PS1, PS2 days. Oh, man.
I had the dongle.
I love those things, though.
I had the PS3, PS2 memory card dongle.
So did I.
Yeah. You had to.
Back in the old beast. Oh, you know, as a funny side note, Steven, before we move on to the hype zone for this all evening.
Right. Yes.
The PS4 to PS5 BC list, those 10 games, compatibility-wise.
Bastards.
That is, I know, but hear me out.
Yeah.
There was more games that were incompatible on the PS2 to PS3 when that shit launched. Think about that for a second.
Interesting.
And there was a built-in emulator. The chip was in the PS3. Mm-hmm. And some games, more than 10 games, wouldn't work on the PS3.
PS3 is 900 side. Pounds. All right, Andy, hit us into the hype zone. We're running out.
Steven, this is the be-all end-all. As is always the segment of the evening.
Please expand.
We now know. We have hypothesized, theorized, something arised of the name of Doom's lead character.
Right.
He's been known as Doom Guy.
Yeah.
Just Doom Guy.
I really
longest time.
Look forward to us getting to the bottom of this, Andy.
Yes. Yes. And lo and behold, the truth is upon us.
Trevor.
And it has set us free. That's a fine name. It's a fine Belmont name at that.
Indeed.
But there's only one name worthy enough for Doom Guy.
Yes.
And that name is Doom Guy.
Wow. They nailed it with that one. They nailed it with that one, Andy. Are you sure?
Interview with PC Gamer.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the upcoming Doom Eternal DLC.
Okay.
The exchange went as follows.
Okay.
I still want to know if Doom Guy's name is BJ Blazkowicz, Flynn Taggart, John Kane, or what? Asked one tweeter, to which Romero replied simply, Doom Guy's name is Doom Guy.
Whoa.
There you have it.
Whoa.
There you have it.
Can I ask you, what was his name in the Doom movie with The Rock?
I don't know.
Who was Doom Guy?
Doesn't matter, because if he had a name that wasn't Doom Guy, then that was not Doom Guy.
It's fair.
It's just a cheap impression. It's like a, you know.
That is fair.
And that guy that plays Tom Hardy-like roles. I forget his name, but he looks like Tom Hardy. He's like discount.
Yeah.
He's like Hardly Tom.
Yep.
I call him.
Yep.
Tom Hardly.
I know exactly what you're thinking of.
So, yeah, that guy. That guy.
Spiky hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of.
So,
all right.
It's only Doom Guy, and that's it.
This is the time where we kick it to our chat to ask you, chat, for some questions and mailbags and all that fun stuff. While we go into last week's question of the week on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/DS podcasts. So get in there and answer our questions. We had a few answers, and our question of the week was, does cross save between current and next gen matter to you? Why or why not? And our old boy Chet says, it depends on the game in question and context, honestly, which of course is the only answer here. For example, GTA 5 is getting a makeover for next gen. I care immensely for my online character carrying over.
Oh, God.
I'm level 300 plus on that shit. That's years and years of investment. Facts. Zach, a.k.a. Buzz Killington, says there's literally no reason to have cross-save across... there's literally no reason to have cross-save across gen... What? It's a save file pulled from the cloud, and if some games get it to work, no reason for them all to have it. Okay. There's a lot of words missing there. There's literally no reason to have cross save across gen.
I guess
it's a save file
pulled
from the cloud, and if some games get it to work, no reason for them all to have it.
So if some do it, they should all do it, is his point he's trying to make there.
That's I mean, if that's what Zach thinks he wrote, because he's trying to correct me, I'm going to paste exactly what he wrote. There's literally no reason to have cross-save across gen. There's literally no reason to whatever. You missed a word. That's fine. It is what it is. But also, you're wrong. Okay. CJ Anderson says it will make me wait on starting some games for sure, particularly Dirt 5 and Ride 4. Now, when am I getting an invite on your show? That was, of course, from the Loot Bros
podcast. Oh, very soon, I guess. That's what's going to happen.
CJ.
You know, there was some Dirt 5 news, Steven,
there was.
Before you go any further.
There was.
Did you see that the 120 FPS mode is like the COVID mode?
I did.
There's no audience.
I did see that.
To play at 120 FPS.
120 FPS to get rid of the audience. It's the power of the Xbox Series X, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. So the question of the week for next week, I've already posted it in the group. I posted it earlier today, 3 hours ago. And this was from, I saw this on Twitter from a friend of ours, MC Fixer, twitch.tv/MC Fixer. He said on Twitter, he asked a question, what is the first game you're going to pop into your next gen system?
Ooh, that's a great question. I like that question a lot.
So we are going to answer that next week, or at least you guys are going to answer that next week. I'm going to give you my answer right now, and that's probably going to be Apex Legends just because it's going to be something I'm going to instantly download, but it will be that or Miles Morales. What about you, Andy?
Demon Souls all the way.
Word.
Word. 100%.
And this is getting traction. We got a lot of people answering right now.
I'm into it.
Indeed.
Alrighty.
All right. Now, folks, anybody in the chat have anything to say? Just, Buzz is trying to deny that he has that typo. It's right there, Buzz. So if you want to change it now, you can. I'll see the little word edited next to your shit. And that's fine. Look, see my little mouse cursor? That I'm highlighting. Right here, I'm highlighting. You see it? I'm highlighting across Andy's face. It's the mouse cursor. There it is. There's literally no reason to have cross save across gen. There it is. It says it right there.
Right there. In plain dumb English.
Posted the screenshot, he said. He said he posted the screenshot. Okay. I'm gonna post my screenshot. Okay? Snipping tool. Here we go. This is great content right here. There it is. Boom. All right.
Listen, I wanna address Vegas Girl on Fire in the chat really quickly, who says that her first game will be Your Mom. Now, not sure if it's my mom or your mom, but just so you know, Italian mom or Greek mom, those moms game back. So get ready. They will fuck your shit up with a wooden spatula, a flip flop.
They are
schooled in the ancient arts.
Let me just they're a very special animal. A slipper. Just somebody's going through a sheet of drywall. Just put it that way.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody's – there's going to be a bulbous indent into a sheet of drywall somewhere if you try.
Set to roaring applause in the background.
Exactly. And that, folks, is going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow the show on social media, we are at NDS Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group, again, is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcast. Follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/DualScreenStreams. Hit the little follow, the little heart button. Hit the little sub button and the thumbs up on this video if you're watching on youtube.com/DualScreensTV. We love you very much. Thank you so much. So very much. Thank you to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sourno Productions for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logos. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art that you are looking at right now. Andy is right there in cartoon form. Hi, Andy. It's you in cartoon form. How are you?
Hello.
Cool. And again, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS podcast. If you want to buy our merchandise, go to dualscreens.com/store. Andy. Oh, and of course, go to dualscreens.com. We have really cool written articles right now. We had a preview, first impressions preview, whatever you want to call it, of the Baldur's Gate 3 early access that went
looks
up
so good.
Yeah, I'm getting that game. I have to. That we have an article of that. We have a review that just went up. The suicide of Rachel Foster, which you wrote. Yes. And then we have our Dual Screen Select series is continuing on, where I wrote an article about Until Dawn. So please feel free to go out there and support us on dualscreens.com. That's www.dualscreens.com. Check out our website. We work very hard on this website. Very hard on website.
So much.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to do it. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, we're interviewing the developer of a game called Happy's Humble Burger Barn tomorrow for the Dual Screens podcast.
Interesting.
And this is going to be a fun one because this is an instance where we have a demo of a horror game that Tiny Build looked at and was like, you know what? That's going to be now a full game. We're going to buy that shit up and the team.
Interesting.
And make you make a full version of this awesome game.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Well, color and me excited.
Spooky one.
So keep the tuned, keep the thing, the dial.
Keep the tuned, dial, tuned into this
keep
tune.
Your dial tuned.
Keep the dial.
Keep it sharp.
Gesticulating on the dual.
Keep
the
your eyes, eyes peeled and your ears.
Keep the ears to the nose and the mouth
make
to the grind.
Make sure you're here for that. On Thursday on
all the things
and the youtube.com/dualscreenstv.
Yes.
Andy.
Steven.
It was a pleasure. Chat, thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent.